Synagogue shooters due in federal court today as Robert Bowers is now charged with 44 criminal counts, including federal hate crimes and causing injury to police officers. A 10th child has died in an adenovirus outbreak at a pediatric facility in New Jersey. State officials say another 17 children at that facility are still ill from the virus. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A true giant of Major League Baseball has passed away.
McKenney with a double, and the Giants have won it.
That's legendary Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully with the call, showing the opposing giant, Willie McCovey, some love in his final appearance in July of 1980. McCovey blasted 521 career home runs, his inspirational play prompting the San Francisco Giants to place a bronze statue of him as the centerpiece of McCovey Point outside San Francisco's AT&T Park. When it was dedicated in 2003, McCovey told his adoring fans,
"I guess I've come a long ways from that young guy in Mobile, Alabama, to having a statue here in San Francisco." Thank you.
McCovey died on Wednesday after some health problems. He was 80. The nation's unemployment line's a little bit shorter, as the Labor Department's reported this morning 214,000 workers filed first-time claims for jobless benefits last week. That's 2,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. The 214,000, a little bit above what analysts were forecasting, though. They expected the number to come in at about 212,000. And today is the day Americans can start purchasing health care from the Obamacare marketplace for the 2019 health insurance plans. The marketplace is scheduled to be open for 6 weeks, half as long as it used to be. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you to our country's most respected entrepreneurs, CEOs, and acclaimed individuals, and where you hear the firsthand stories of how they made it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and thanks for joining us again, folks. Well, folks, today is a very special edition, because today we are fortunate to have back our friend Pat McGovern, the chairman and founder of the multi-billion dollar International Data Group, back with us again for a part two interview. Now, if you're lucky enough to catch his first visit here on Legends of Success, you know why we've invited him back. We just couldn't cover enough of what he's accomplished and his team of associates have accomplished. So we're here to get more from him. He was a great guest then, and I'm sure he'll even be better today. Pat, we're glad you're back with us. How are you, my friend?
Very well, and delighted to be back with you, John.
Well, I understand you just had a little excursion you came back from.
Oh, I was off to Asia for about a month, so it's good to be back here in the U.S. in our headquarters in Boston.
And I'm sure since we visited with you, you've probably created another $1 billion of value somewhere, didn't you?
Well, Asia has been a great area of growth for us, and this trip focused on India, where we think we'll become one of the three largest economies in the world over the next 30 years. So we've launched several new publications there on this trip and expanded our research and set up a $150 million venture capital fund, too, because there are so many of these very accomplished in Indian-born, but people moved to the Silicon Valley, became very successful entrepreneurs. Now they're going back to India. So we want to give them some financial support and ideas and advice that will help them build great companies over there as well.
Mm, I think it's great. He's always on the leading edge. He was on the leading edge back in the 60s when he dove into the world of computers, so far ahead of the curve. And Pat, I'm sure many, many people know the name International Data Group, but for our first-time listeners or those who are not quite familiar with everything you do, give us a snapshot again of IDG as it exists today, and then we'll go back and check it out.
Yeah, well, we're a company whose mission has been to focus on providing people the most timely, useful, and actionable information about computers, communications, and electronics. And we do that through about 300 newspapers and magazines around the world with titles like Computer World, PC World, Mac World, etc. And we have about 450 websites that many of them support those magazine brands, and about 1,200 different expositions and conferences around the world. And we've also built a family of venture capital companies that help young entrepreneurs get started in these developing countries to be able to bring a lot of new products and services and a lot of new choices to their local markets.
Mm-hmm. And the number of employees you have is in the thousands.
We have 13,000 current employees, John.
13,000 current employees and revenues, I believe, approaching $3 billion with a B, $3 billion.
That's right. We were about $2.8 billion in the last 12 months.
That's incredible. Now, last time I think we spoke around 2.5, so I wasn't far off. I said, you're creating another billion.
Right. You've intersected our growth curve pretty well.
Well, you know, when you're on Legends of Success, all the needles fly, don't they? You know, folks, I also want to mention, Pat is one of the classic stories that we have here on Legends of Success, because Pat, we've had other tremendous stories. For example, the Estee Lauder story is one that will go down in history of America as one of the greatest. But unfortunately, Estee was too old when we did the original Estee Lauder interview. And we were fortunate enough to have her grandson. And then we had William's mother, Evelyn, who's married to Leonard. And there's other multi-generational businesses. But what's neat here is that Pat McGovern created this company from scratch. And when you find out how he created it, it's amazing. This whole interview, this whole visit today, I'd like to visit with a number of firsts that Pat McGovern has accomplished. And I want to ask you quickly, Pat, or not forget this point. You have created a number of firsts, and there were a lot of naysayers every time you tried something new, wasn't there?
Yes, typically there was. That actually encouraged us, because we knew a lot of people didn't think it could be done. I mean, a lot of people hadn't tried it, and therefore there might be a wide open opportunity for us to do it. But we created the first weekly newspaper for the computer field. We were the first people to set up a publishing enterprise in China, international enterprise. We were also the first in the Soviet Union, and in countries like Hungary. And many in Romania, Bulgaria, Poland were all the first to develop those markets. And we're the first to set up a focus market research firm to study technology products. And the first to take a global view. Most information companies saw themselves as a national provider, and they go from one subject to another, where we said we wanted to become the best about computers, communications, and electronics, and we wanted to do it all over the world. So we decided to focus on global expansion rather than broadening our array of subjects in a single country.
You know, when Jack Welch was on this program, I believe he's a good friend of yours.
Yeah, no, Jack, he's up here in Boston now. Delighted to know.
Yeah, not far from where you are right now, I believe.
Exactly, yeah, right down there on Tremont Street.
Sure, absolutely. Well, when Jack was with us visiting, I had asked Jack, when you first became an employee of GE in the early days, did you ever have the vision back then of becoming the CEO? And he said, not a chance. And I wanted to ask you, Pat, when you start working in your businesses, was your vision that global and that grand, or were you just happy to make a living?
Well, because when we got started, I was very happy to find a need out there that people wanted market research information about the U.S. computer market, and that was the beginning of our business. And then we started to do events and started to do publications. Mm-hmm. But we realized the market for our for information technology was at that time 78% in the U.S., but we projected it was going to be down to only 28% by the year 2000, and so we said, if we're going to keep up with where the market is going to be, we have to be, global, all over the world. So it was really, I'd say, in the third year after we started our business in 64 that we said we have to go over and get our businesses established elsewhere. And by 69, we were established in the UK and then in Germany about 72 and France in 74 and et cetera. So we kept adding another a couple of countries every year.
Well, you've got a few more to go, but I think you conquered a lot of them. You know, when you look back, and if you'll allow me, Pat, I just want to recap a little bit of your history prior to going into business, if you'd let me.
Sure.
Folks, Pat McGovern was born in Queens, New York, and at age five, he moved to Philadelphia. I believe you lived in a row home, am I correct?
Yeah, you're quite correct.
Okay, and you attended St. Martin's High School. Now, that was a pretty big school. How many students were in that school?
Well, we had 3,300 boys.
3,300 boys. And when we talk about firsts, folks, here's the first first that Pat McGovern faced in his life. Your big dream was to go to a certain college, and you were told pretty much by advisors at the school, forget it, Pat, it's not going to happen. What school did you want to go to?
I wanted to go to MIT. Mm-hmm. And people said, hey, we've had a number of our students apply, and they've all been turned down, so you should forget that, and you should focus on going to a school here around Philadelphia or another school your ambition is exceeding the possibility of your attainment. So I said, well, I'm going to try it anyway, and I was fortunate enough to get a full scholarship to go to MIT. That was the only way I could have afforded it, and so it gave me a huge opportunity to learn a lot more about what I was enthusiastic about, namely computer design and how it relates to the understanding of the design of the human nervous system and trying to build intelligent systems.
It's incredible. And folks, when you look at this man's life and you look at Pat's life, and it's very nice to give us the gift of his time for the second edition here we're speaking with him, he's turned a lot of challenges into tremendous profits. When we get back from this break, I'm going to ask you, Pat, how do you see a crisis and a challenge in life? How do you attack a challenge different than others who have not been successful? And we're also going to talk about, folks, talk about startup cash. We're going to talk about Pat's first venture when nobody would give him money, with the exception of two people who gave him barely pennies. So you're going to hear this incredible story and what that little investment's worth today. Pat McGovern, the founder and chairman of the international multi-billion dollar international data group. When we get back, you're going to hear the rest of this incredible story. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Patrick McGovern, the founder of International Data Group, an international company, multi-billion dollar company, literally, folks, started from scratch. He is our guest today. We're so honored to bring him back for the second time. Again, if you caught the first interview, you're twice as lucky to catch him today. It's just an honor to have you here, Pat. Part of the theme of today's program, and I want especially students and young people and entrepreneurs to hear, anyone faced with challenges, and especially if you have a new idea, that Pat is one of the greatest examples of setting firsts when people told him it couldn't be done. And we've heard from other guests on Legends of Success how many naysayers there were when someone had a new idea. And Pat just referenced, if you have a new idea and people are telling you it can't be done, you're probably on the right trail to success because no one's done it. Am I right, Pat?
You're exactly right, John.
You know, going back, one of the first, you were told you couldn't go to MIT. You won a full scholarship there. While you were there, you became the editor of Computers and Automation magazine, correct?
That's correct, yes. And that really gave me a chance to get around during the summers and meet the heads of the computer companies and meet their top engineers and their product planners. So I learned a tremendous amount about the companies. And then when I came to start my own business, that was a big help because they knew my name and had seen my writings and analysis. And therefore, they were willing to pay attention to a proposal that I made up to set up a census of where the computers were and what the customers who were using them wanted for future products and services.
Absolutely. And that was a job you got while you were at MIT, but you stayed with it when you graduated, correct?
That's right. Yeah, as an editor, I was out talking to the heads of the computer companies, and
everyone,
one of them told me that they had a need for this. And,
sure.
And when I proposed the price, he said that was too low, I should charge more, so that would be taken seriously. So I love that business idea. And so I put out the proposal and wound up having nine companies send me checks for $25,000 each for half payment. So that is actually all the capital that I used to get started. So to anyone ask me about how to start a business, I say just talk to people who can be customers, find out their unfulfilled needs, and propose to fulfill those needs. And in many cases, they'll sponsor you, they'll buy a subscription to your proposed service, and otherwise advance money to help you get it going. So you don't need to raise a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If you are closely in touch with your customers, they'll be happy to support you.
Well, absolutely. And there's a real important anecdote and lesson here. While you're working for that magazine, and folks, again, it was called Computers and Automation back, number of years ago, 60s?
Yeah, I was there in about 63.
And while Pat was there, his job was to go all over the country, as he said, and gather information on where all the computers were. Now, remember, this is back in the 60s. He built up a tremendous knowledge and a resource of where they were all located. Now, the lesson I wanted to go back to that they would love to hear from you, Pat, you brought this idea back for a brand new publication, and you brought it back to the publisher. What did they tell you?
Well, they said, oh, that's a market research project. That's not something we're interested in, and you can do it on your own. So I said, no, fine, I'll try it. And then that was what started the business. And then we've had a number of cases like that. After doing this, talking to a lot of the managers of computer centers, they said they needed a weekly newspaper to help them get real information about what other people like them were experiencing with computers, what were their problems and difficulties. And So we launched the weekly newspaper, and everyone told us it couldn't be done. We were only putting $50,000 into the project, all the money we had available. And they told us, oh, it's going to cost you $1 million to run a weekly newspaper, and you'll be out of business in 2 months. And, we'll either, if you did well, we'll pick up the pieces and carry it on ourselves. Or if you went slowly, we'll know it was a bad market, and we'll save us some money by showing us you had a dead-end project. And fortunately, we got very little advertising because we were new, but we got about 70,000 people who gave us a check for $12 to subscribe to our publication. So that was, in fact, $1 million came out of the subscription advances we were getting from readers enthusiastic about our content.
That's pretty amazing. And when you go back to the original, when that publisher told you originally, Pat, nah, you go do that, we're not interested. Tell the folks how much money was raised and how you raised it to launch that new magazine and that new venture.
Yeah, new venture. Well, I sold my car and put in $5,000. That was all my proceeds available. And then I went to my sister and I went to the first person I had employed, who sort of was our general manager, and said, would you be willing to invest and support me in this project? And they said, well, we know you and like you and everything, but we know these things are risky. They don't always succeed. So we're each going to give you $10
wow.
to contribute to your capital availability.
So your seed capital was $5,020 by selling a car and getting a $10 bill from your wife and a manager.
You're my sister and a manager.
Your sister and a manager. Yes. Right. So that was in 1963, basically?
Yeah, 64.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And those two investors, I got to recap this. Those two investors that gave you the $10, what's a $10 worth today?
Oh, about $3.5 million they received to date.
Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely amazing. And they told you couldn't be done.
Right, which always encouraged me because if it was easily able to be done, a lot of people would have already done it. So when they say it can't be done, that means I'm going to have very much reduced competition. And just by energetically keeping in touch with the customers and prospects, you often find ways that they would like to see this service provided that no one else has suggested, and then you can charge in and give them something they really want, and they'll enthusiastically support it.
Is that I was going to ask you secrets to success, but when you're growing a business, no matter what stage it is, Pat, isn't that one of the critical elements that you use in success is always staying customer focused and listening to them and listening to what they need? Sounds simple, but so many people don't do it.
You're right. And when people ask me, what does it take to be an entrepreneur? I say, well, you have to find, something you want to do, you're passionate about. You have to give a lot of physical energy because you have to put 17, 18-hour days in the early days. You have to keep your optimism high so you feel your good, positive spirit. But don't, spend too much time sitting down making up paper plans, because what you should not do is work your plan. What you should do is work the market. And keep going out and finding out what people want and their changing needs and keeping right up to date with their changing needs. Then you'll be winning all the time. If you try to, go ahead and roll out a plan that you made up at some time, you're almost sure to be way off the market within a year or two.
That's incredible. I'm glad you said that, and it's very, very intriguing because I find that a lot of the greatest entrepreneurs in America, the wealthiest, most successful, never really had a formal written business plan, and if they did, they usually threw it out.
I found that to be very helpful because you listen better if you don't have a lot of preconceived ideas in your mind.
I love it. Now, when you're growing from a regional business, startup, you mentioned some of the critical elements.
Right.
What about growing from regional to national? What are those next critical steps to grow a business even further?
Well, of course, you have to make sure that your communication network is spread throughout the country so that people in all parts of the country are aware of your projects. And then, of course, the next step is to begin to move into other countries. And there, the key step is to go over and initially make discussions with the proposed customers to make sure they see the same needs, and then go out and find someone in that country who shares your passion for the fulfillment of those needs and has the enthusiasm and the charisma to be able to hire and motivate good people, and then give them the resources they want, give them encouragement and support, get out of their way, let them adjust to their local market, and just provide them help and assistance, but not try to tell them how to do it, because you're never going to fully understand a foreign market where the local person who lives in the culture every day is going to be much more able to quickly adjust to changes within that market.
Another point you came up with and you shared with me in the past is that decentralization was important to you, and you honed in on a number. It's around 150. That was very key to the growth of your business and your business units. Can you share why that number 150 is so important?
Okay. Yes, that's our average business size. I found early on that I was like a typical entrepreneur. I wanted to sort of control everything, make sure everything was happening the way I expected. And then I realized that my attempt to control was actually slowing the growth of the business. And that's when I really had the epiphany to say, what is really necessary is not my control, but finding fertile markets and then getting an enthusiastic leader. And then I found the morale as I visited companies and even observing our own companies that the morale was sort of peaked at about 150 people. The people at that stage, they knew each other, they knew each other's families, they had a clear vision of why their role was so important in the company, and they were all, sort of worked together as a unified team. And it's interesting because that's sort of, people grow up in families, and usually like 12 families made a tribe, mm-hmm. people who migrated from place to place. So it's typically like 12 people in a family, and so you had 144, 150 people in this group of human beings who would move around and conduct all their activities. And I think the mind is really sort of set up to deal with groups of that size very comfortably. And as organizations get larger than that, then people feel alienated. It's them over there rather than us. You want everyone to say it's us who are winning, us who are doing things together.
I love it.
That's why I have 100 businesses, each one headed up by its own team, and the average size is about 150 people each.
Folks, I hope you're taking shorthand. This is a lot of wisdom from a man who's done it from scratch. I'm John Resnick. We're visiting with Pat McGovern. We'll be back on Legends of Success right after this.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump saying thousands of U.S. troops are scheduled to be deployed to the U.S. border with Mexico, perhaps by tomorrow. Detailing plans yesterday, the president insisted that people in Central American caravans won't be allowed to enter the United States.
We have about 5,008 military personnel on top of Border Patrol ICE.
Reports are the president's considering sending as many as 15,000 active duty troops to the border. Hundreds of Google employees, most of them women, are planning to walk off the job today to protest the company's handling of sexual harassment allegations. Workers are upset the company paid millions of dollars in exit packages to male execs who were accused of harassment and did not disclose what they did. The walkout expected to happen at almost two dozen different offices around the world. And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
This is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine, and you're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, and we're visiting with Patrick McGovern, again, the founder and the chairman of International Data Group, close to $3 billion in revenue, started with $5,020 by selling a car and borrowing $10 from two people. It's pretty amazing. And Pat, when you look at the growth, I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I want to ask you, some people, you're well recognized on the Forbes 400. Last I looked, you know, they say you're worth a couple of billion dollars. Is that embarrassed? Does that bring the wrong attention to you? How do you face that when people bring that up?
Well, when they first appeared, I think it was about 1981, of course, you get a lot of calls from your friends, you know, saying, gee, I have this great project. I'd like you to write a check for $100 million to help out. And then you get a call from the IRS saying, we saw, you know, looked at your 1040 and we don't see those figures. And I say, well, Chris, that's an estimate of assets, not an estimate of current income. So I pay my taxes on current income.
Yeah.
And even your ex-wife calls and says, the lawyer calls, says, I think we settled too quickly. You know, I'm going to come back in and reopen the case.
Did that really happen?
Yeah. So they said, well, you know, it's all signed and sealed 3 years ago. So,
wow. Well, just tell her you grew everything in 3 years. That's all.
And but after that, I don't get too much in the way of any comment, etc. Because my wife and I feel we are custodians of that asset, and we want to give back to society in ways that will increase the quality of life for people. And one of the issues that we're very focused on is helping to understand how the brain works, and you know, what's the physical basis of consciousness, and how to cure mental illness and brain disease. So we've set up a family of institutes for brain research to help pursue that area of research.
Well, and I may add, Pat's being very humble here, his first gift, folks, was the largest gift in the history of MIT. Can I mention how much I'm sure you'll be happy if I do. $350 million, folks, he's given to MIT, all to help. It's interesting because you build success and wealth through intellectual capabilities, and now you want to help those who are struggling with that. Is that correct?
Yeah, obviously, our principal activity has been to provide information to people, yet we don't understand what happens to information in the brain. We felt if we understood how the brain actually functions, we'd be able to know how to present information in ways that are more vivid, immediately understandable, easier to store and remember and discuss. So it would help education, and it would help anyone in the communication business. But when we are doing that analysis of how the brain works, we also discover what's causing schizophrenia or Alzheimer's or autism or AIDS or, the parts of the brain that are causing Parkinson's tremor, et cetera. And so we hope we'll make a real contribution to eliminating the horrible, tragedy that occurs in families where these types of mental illnesses are created. And there's nearly $1 trillion of lost work or lost economic activity because of these mental illnesses and brain disease each year in the U.S. And so you'd have an 8-9% increase in GNP in the U.S. if these things could be eliminated. It would be a terrific benefit to every person in society.
It's amazing. And when you touch on things like autism, and by the way, I understand you have plans now to replicate that two more times in other locations, meaning another 700 and some million you're going to give away.
Yeah, we realize that some brilliant neuroscientists want to live in where they grew up. So we found a lot of very talented people in Asia. So we're planning to have a McGovern Institute in Asia, probably in China. And then we're also finding the same situation in Europe, so we're planning to establish one in Europe. So eventually, over the next 7 or 8 years, we'll have three major centers where they can, you know, can collaborate about the work they're doing. And I think the result will be that we could really have the best of the best neuroscientists working somewhere among our three centers.
I love it. And you know, one question I had for you, and I don't know if the listeners are aware of this. Bernie Marcus brought it up when he was on the show. I know he's involved with autism. But my wife and I, Billy, started helping out a local school in central Pennsylvania called the Vista School. And they assist children ages 3 to 14 with autism. Explain how the numbers of autism, I don't know if they're just finding them or they're new cases, but explain what causes that, Pat, and what are you folks doing up there to try to work with autism?
Yeah, well, there is an unusual increase. I think maybe it's partially that there's something in the pollution in the environment that is causing this to increase, plus partially that the ability to recognize in an early stage autistic, situation, autistic development allows for more cases to be reported. But autism essentially is a fault in the early neurological development of a child, which causes part of the brain to accelerate its development that often, you know, has quantitative, factual types of skills, but diminishes the social sensitivity and social interaction capability, so that you wind up having, you know, people who can be a brilliant mathematician and, you know, can multiply 20-digit numbers together, or can hear a piano concerto once and repeat it exactly and do amazing things in the specialized part of the brain that's related to math and music. Mm-hmm. Yet, they have very little sensitivity to other people. They can't read another person's mood or style. And, you know, they look away from people. They're really isolated socially. So what we hope our research will do is identify what the biochemical or other action in the developing brain, and often this is, you know, much more frequent in males than females, causes the development of this autistic situation, so it can be prevented or hopefully even reversed in cases where it's, you know, the child is now 5 or 6 to 7 years old.
It's amazing. And I understand that the statistics these days are 1 in 166 children, 1 out of 166 has autism.
That's really tragic because it's such a hardship for the parents involved, and also it requires a lifetime, often very lifetime special attention. So many other people need to get involved to help the autistic child live an adequate life.
Well, I commend you and your wife for doing a tremendous job. I understand there's 500 researchers at that location. I wish you the best of success with that. And we get back from this next break. Oh, you're quite welcome. And when we get back from this next break, we're going to find out, I'm going to ask you, Pat, what are some of the unexpected challenges entrepreneurs and business owners don't know? Obviously, if they're unexpected, they don't know. What are the unexpected challenges they run into? Maybe you can help them out with that a little.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McGovern, founder, chairman of International Data Group. We'll be back right after this on Legends of Success.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success, visiting with Pat McGovern. We're so happy to have him back here for a second dose of Pat McGovern. What wit and wisdom. I hope you're taking shorthand, folks, especially our young people, our students, our entrepreneurs trying to get ahead in life. When you get done listening to Pat McGovern, you think you can accomplish anything, and you probably can if you have enough passion to drive it. But what about, Pat, what about the most difficult and unexpected challenges entrepreneurs will face? Can you share any wisdom of what's ahead in the road that they're not thinking of?
Well, often, you know, sometimes the customers will tell you things that they believe to be possible or true, and then it turns out that they can't actually accomplish it that they want it. So it's important, you know, to keep very closely communicated to them. So when they realize that their the initial thought is not achievable, they'll let you know. I remember we started the idea of doing a weekly television program about how computers were going to be useful in society back in 1980, and we went around to the various companies that were in the computer field, and they were all advertising with our magazines and newspapers, and we said, see, we're going to do a weekly television program. And they said, terrific, you know, we're going to buy a 30-second spot on your show. And in no time at all, we had all the TV availabilities filled out. And so we went ahead and hired the production team at NOVA, the science program at the PBS. And we produced 39 weeks of shows, and then we called the companies and say, send us your ads. And they said, well, you know, I called our agency, and they said, oh, you want to be on TV? You know, that's new for you. It will cost, to do a first-class commercial will cost you $70,000 or $80,000 per 30-second spot. They said, we just can't possibly afford those types of rates, so we can't give you the ads we thought we would. So we went on the air anyway, but we had more public service ads than I think in any other program on TV.
So it sounds like Pat did the underwriting.
That we did. So it's important. That's why it's important to keep really close to the customer. And as soon as you find that they have a problem of that type, you can make an adjustment. Then you run into other unexpected problems. When we launched our first publication in the Soviet Union, we sent all the ads over in advance by a whole month, and we approached 15, 30 ads in the first issue. We're going to pay all the costs. And we went then over to Moscow for a big celebration for the launch issue. And when they produced it, it had only 4 ads in it. And I said, it must be a terrible, it must have lost it in the freight or the printer dropped the plates or something.
Hey, Pat, got to take a real quick break here. When we get back, we're going to find out what in the world happened to those ads. Ladies and gentlemen, fascinating story from Pat McGovern. We'll hear the rest in just a moment. Legends of Success.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
We're back on Legends of Success with Pat McGovern. Pat, before we took a break, you started a new magazine in Soviet Union. You sent over 15 ads. The magazine came out. Only 4 were in there. What happened to the rest of the ads? You must have gone crazy.
We asked him what happened. He said, well, in our country, the editor of the magazine is in charge of every page. So we gave him all your 30 pages of ads. And he said 15 of them are boring and uninteresting. I refused to accept them. And then another 11 of the other 15 are from companies I've already mentioned in articles, so it would be redundant to put them in. So only 4 are acceptable to me. And so we had to say, well, wait a minute, you know, this is perestroika. Without the revenue, we can't pay the bills for the company. You know, it was like, you know, epiphany. Well, no, in our country, the ministry pays all the bills. We never have to think of getting revenue from the buyers. So we learned again to make sure you research things out carefully so you don't run into a big surprise like that.
Yeah, and beef up your reserve.
Exactly.
Right.
Of course, we reorganized the company, and we had our ad sales manager with his own separate pages that he had total control over, et cetera. And then we put the issue out on the newsstand. The government had price control, so they said, we'll only let you charge 5 rubles per copy as the cover price, and they were sold out. We had 50,000 copies sold out in about 5 hours. And then the next day, we found people reselling them to someone who couldn't buy it the first day for 25 rubles. So it's one of the first times that the readers got more profit out of the magazine than the publisher.
Oh, amazing. Well, you know, talking about going overseas, Pat, my research tells me, I don't think I brought this up before when we spoke, I believe you were the very first U.S., the first American to actually create a strategic alliance with China, your business, in 1978. Is that correct? One of the very...
Well, in 1980, we created the first joint venture between the U.S. and China of any kind. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just after the opening of the door to China. And we felt with 22% of the world population, this was going to be, you know, one of the biggest markets in the world and in the 21st century. So we said we want to be in and get in early. And we started a weekly newspaper over there, and we put in $250,000 investment, and so far that project has returned over $55 million in profit shares and dividends. So we found you can make a lot of money in China if you found a need that was really well received in the market. And since then, we now have 42 magazines and newspapers in China and about 60 websites and about 80 different events. And we've also created a venture capital group who have invested in about 140 young companies over there in the technology space. And very nice returns from that as well.
I understand the first trip you took, your travel agent didn't even know how to book the trip, and you had some real challenges moving around over in Asia and China over there. Am I correct?
Well, that was in 78. I wanted to see what China was like. We didn't have diplomatic relations with China from the U.S., so I had to, you know, no one could give me a visa, so I decided I would attempt to get into China unusually. And so I noticed I had to go to a trade show in Moscow. So I noticed it was a flight from Tokyo that to Beijing, then to Moscow. And, you know, it changed planes in Beijing. But one plane came in the midday of one day, and then the next plane out left the end of the day of the following day. So I said, oh, I can just say to my travel agent, that's a transit, so that's no problem. I don't need a visa. So this is my local around-the-corner travel agent, so she didn't know any difference. So she gave me the ticket, and when I tried to get on the flight in Japan, you know, they said, oh, you have no visa. You have to sign all these releases of liability. And then when I arrived in Beijing, I was just on this Air Iran flight, and as soon as we got off the plane, it took off and went, you know, on to Iran. So I said, well, at least they can't put me back on the flight I came in on. So I went in, and they kept asking for a visa. I said, no visa, transit. And eventually they actually gave me a little handwritten visa that I could spend a day walking around Beijing and seeing the crowded bookstores and seeing how enthusiastic people were for information. So I said, boy, as soon as it's legally possible to do so, I want to be over here and, you know, set up by the IDG business.
Jeez. I understand the man that gave you that visa, it was handwritten on a piece of rice paper, and he said, look, once you get on the plane, tear it up, and you never saw us.
That's right. Don't tell anyone who gave you this. I didn't want to get in trouble and get somebody investigated, you know, how I could get in the country without their version of the State Department giving me an official visa.
I love it.
It was a really illuminating moment for me to see, you know, the potential for the thirst for information in that market. And yeah. So it really gave me, you know, an unusual opportunity to be over there early. And now China has grown to be about $250 million a year business for us and has just surpassed Germany as the largest market outside of the U.S. for IDG's services.
What three tips can you give entrepreneurs who are national that want to do business in China? What three tips can you give them that are really crucial and critical for their success?
Well, I'd say, one, you want to go yourself. You want to go over as the CEO or the company founder, because then they'll introduce you to people at the same level. So if you go over as CEO, you know, you might meet the minister or the vice minister of a key government agency that would be involved with your industry, and also the potential prospects, you know, the customers will meet you at a peer level. Then you want to, you know, realize that it's all based on trust. So they have to meet you and know who you are and what you're all about, and you have to be patient. You have to make multiple trips. You've got to meet people, you know, three or four times. Then they begin to trust you. And once they trust you, you know, then their mind is open to conducting business with you, signing a joint venture or buying your product or service. So the mistake people make is often they send staff people over to find out what's going on. And they only meet staff people in China who do nothing but write long reports and nothing happens. So go over yourself. Go over frequently. Build personal trust and relationships. And then the doors will open for you in China, and you can really do what you want to do for the market in spite of detailed regulations that may say otherwise, because once the, you know, key government officials back you, then everyone else accepts whatever your project is going to be. I remember going to different provinces in China, and the local mayor or the key local business associate would say, I'm not sure you can do this here. And I would say, well, you know, here's the private telephone number of the premier of China. You know, I know him personally. You can call him and check me out. He said, oh, you know the premier's private number? Oh, well, please, you go ahead and do what you want here and never tell the premier I gave you any problem.
Pat, I want to thank you so much for being a wonderful guest. And I know our listeners have learned a lot from your wisdom.
Well, thank you very much, John. I always enjoy talking with you, and you always seem to really have done the fantastic research and always ask the most pertinent questions.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Special thanks to our team at Legends of Success and the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick. And most important, folks, thank you for tuning in. We love to be with you every week. This has been Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next time.
Mike Hewitt here. I hold two lists of 10 items each. In my left hand, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, and in my right, the 10 amendments comprising our Bill of Rights. The first restrains people, and the second restrains government. It isn't possible for an honest and reasonable person to prefer the first after having been informed of both. Vladimir Lenin said, "The goal of socialism is communism." But Thomas Jefferson said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." I believe we must rise above the daily debate and reintroduce America to liberty. Ignore the argument and seek to inform. If you truly believe they're misguided and undereducated, then know it's a civic duty to guide and educate. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's been a busy few days, and it's going to be a busy few more for President Trump as he travels America to support Republican candidates. Today with a Columbia, Missouri rally to support Attorney General Josh Hawley, who's challenging incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill on Tuesday. And as the midterms approach, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Dr. Ben Carson says it's clear the political divide in America has never been so wide. But Carson adds,
the only thing that can really destroy us are ourselves. You know, Jesus said it best. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It was echoed again by Abraham Lincoln.
He spoke on Fox and Friends. The alleged synagogue shooter Robert Bauer pleading not guilty minutes ago to 44 criminal counts for the massacre last Saturday that killed 11 people. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com
About 1,500 Google workers, most of them women, are planning to walk off their jobs today to protest the way the company handles sexual harassment allegations. A dangerous storm system is bringing severe weather to 10 states from Louisiana to New York, with tornado and flood watches in effect from New Orleans and Jackson, Mississippi, up to Nashville and as far north as Buffalo, New York. Heavy rain expected in the Ohio Valley, and that'll bring the risk of flooding. Boston holds a victory parade for the world champion Red Sox yesterday, and at the rally that followed, manager Alex Cora told fans,
Your expectations are way up there, but one thing for sure, the same expectations you guys have, that group down there has it too, and that's what they're the world champs.
Meanwhile, a man is facing charges after he allegedly threw a can of beer during the parade that damaged the world championship trophy. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
More now on the latest controversial immigration proposal from President Trump. Here's